In my last installment, I shared about going to Ireland for the first time when I was 18 years old and going to the farm where my Irish grandmother had been born and meeting there her sister, my great aunt Johanna. Those words, welcome home. And so I continue here. Back in the US, my old conversation remained.
Don't you dare ask me about that damn country, do you hear?
My Irish grandmother, who had worked in New York as a seamstress, would say this to me holding a needle, but it may have been a knife. I tried to understand the source of her pathos, that she had to leave Ireland, or that she had no desire to ever return. Perhaps it was the Irish cone, the double bind, damned if you stay, damned if you go. And that led to this waiting station, waiting, waiting, disconnected from story or place. Thinking about alchemy, those base metals that underlie this waiting station remain untouched. The soul's prima materia not worked, unmetabolized pain. The resulting trauma of not knowing how one belonged to the world, manifested as this great waiting. But waiting for what? If one's place has vanished, and with it story, what happens to your narrative? It goes underground. It waits in darkness. It prays for reemergence, for a spot of soil to nudge so life can begin anew. This great waiting masks the costs of exile when spirit is closely aligned with land. The historian Kirby Miller writes of the Catholic Gaelic-speaking Irish and their reluctance to emigrate. According to the author Rebecca Solnit, Miller cites in her book, their profound attachment to place, a language in which the word for going abroad translates as exile, a literature in which all departures from one's country of origin were regarded as tragic exile. The silence of the exiled Irish transmogrifies into a shield protecting our psyche from viewing her unprotected ruins. That silence harbors the displaced as well as psyche's longing for place. It is the double bind, eternally waiting, while not knowing what it is you're waiting for. Stateside alights another irony. Many of the sons of these Irish Catholic immigrants found work, as did my father, as special agents for the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover, himself a Protestant, is said to have recruited at the Catholic colleges, knowing these men grew up on the meat and potatoes of hierarchical rigidity and obedience. These silent Irish Catholic sons of silent Irish Catholic mothers entered an occupation where secrecy was the ultimate bargain. Solnit writes, trauma is inherited as silence, a silence it may take generations to hear. It would be the next generation, my generation, who would say enough to the secrecy, enough to the wait. We would dig past the genealogical charts and venture down into psyche's bogs. We would sniff for those stories long buried, the poems etched on skeletons. We would reclaim the thin spaces. Life would begin anew. I'll continue on next time with The Leprechaun Tree Grows in Orange County.